Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You gotta hurry up, man. It takes forever.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
It's not fat shaming.
It's fat celebrating.
When is the fat pride parade, by the way? It's only a block long. Everyone runs out of energy.
You are looking live at the world's slowest moving parade.
Boy, are you fat.
The marching band is only tuba players. And the best part about that is that Rick Camp played the tuba. I believe at NIU.
Keep them coming. Text lines.
Instead of a bunch of little clowns getting out of a car, it's one fat clown trying to get out of a smart car.
Boom, baba, boom, baba, boom.
Don't pay any attention to those fools, lard ass.
Texter comes in and says the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is the lead car.
Oh, it's not fair. I always wanted to drive a food-shaped car.
The steering wheel is a giant onion ring.
They thought of everything.
Everyone follow the wiener.
Oh, God.
Wait, what?
Nice and clean.
Was that easy?
Everyone follow the wiener.
That worked out.
Oh, and I gave it to you.
Well,
are we going to bring that back? Right?
Let's freeze it right about now. Go ahead and roll it.
Everyone follow the wiener. Everyone follow the wiener. Everyone follow the wiener. Everyone follow the wiener. Follow the wiener.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I stand by it.
Well, I mean, that's what the thought process would be if we were in the Fat Pride Parade.
That's right.
Yeah, that's all you're doing is giving voice to the philosophy of those marching.
Yeah.
Marching is the wrong word, by the way. Rolling.
Sashaying. Follow the wiener. Everyone follow the wiener. Context or not, I'm totally fine with it.
Context is overrated in radio. You never know when people turn on the radio and what they hear.
Underrated in life, though. Context seems to have been going away. Nuance, those sort of things. We're losing them.
Yeah, it's possible.
Everyone follow the wiener. Sometimes I just make Taney's job a little too easy, I think.
I liked the audio tricks of a Chris Tannehill there. Made it sound like he was using old school reel-to-reel tape or something like that. Or actually vinyl, like he had stuff on vinyl slowing it down.
If there's anything worth pressing on vinyl, it's Danny saying that. Got 1,000 copies.
I'm a big Danny on vinyl collector. Not really music anymore.
You have to hear Danny on the original vinyl.
Danny, do you want me to get the whole Mitch album onto vinyl for you?
That's a good proposition.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
You could have it.
Danny was that guy. He was that guy riding home on the train last night listening to his own material.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. Listening to the Mitch album as he's on the train.
I texted that to you in confidence.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I blow that?
Yeah, I was like, I had so much fun listening to We Hope the Bears that I was like, all right.
It was so weird. Tanny texted me on his way home yesterday, too. He's like, guess what? I can't get enough of this Mitch album, man.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Sure. I get you.
Tanny, what's your favorite track?
Oh, man, it's so hard to pick one. I mean, they're all just really awful. And I have no connection to any of them, so it's really tough. I'll get back to you on that one.
Well, you take your time. Maybe we'll play one or all of them for you.
Fingers crossed.
Before the show ends today. But, yeah, man, I was sentimental. I was thinking back. It was a beautiful thing.
No, it's nice.
Christmas at Hallis.
It's reunion week here on the
screen. We hope the band.
Trubisky. Yeah, it's a real muscular Springsteen impression there from our guy.
I
think it fit beautifully.
Speaking of audio tricks, did you hear on early odds, it was David Schuster filling in for Joe Ostrowski a couple weeks ago.
I did hear the entire interview with the actual bookie.
Okay, you did, and with Vincent.
His voice being affected, and then I heard the open that came after you and Mac dissected it.
Yeah.
And Tanny had some fun with it because... Because, yes, David forgot not to talk over the bookie.
So sometimes Vincent was like this, yes. And then other times he was like this.
And now, I don't know.
You're a bookie. Okay, or what'd you call it again? A betting engineer? I love that. Will the sports books have the ability to offer fair lines with a 15% tax rate?
No. I don't think so. I don't know the particulars of how they're going to do this if in terms of... taxing and stuff. The other thing is that if somebody hits big with these casinos, they're going to have to fill out a tax form, probably. They don't have to do that with a bookmaker.
You've never... I was going to say something witty, but I won't. All right, I lied. I do have one more question. You've been doing this...
Columbo.
Yeah, I am. You've been doing this for 34 years.
Why are you playing the guy's actual voice? Don't out him. Oh, my God. First of all, I know you thought it was James Big Cat Williams. I think it's Groot. I am Groot right there. But I don't know if this was mentioned in the course of your dissection of Schuster and the audio, is that the content was awesome. Like, it was really, really cool and interesting to hear a straight-up underground bookie talking about what the legalization is going to do to the business and what it is not going to do to the business.
I said that on the front end of the conversation.
Yeah.
It was like a 20-second disclaimer, and then we mocked it for 18 minutes.
Right.
But it was good content.
Really, really good.
It was just unnecessary to modulate his voice. He's not taking huge bets for the mob. He's retired. He's not ashamed. He doesn't send out violent enforcers. Like... the police are not going to be like, oh, are you taking a $50 bet from Joe in Evanston? Like, no one cares. So I just thought the whole premise was hilarious.
I understand. Well, did he ask for it? Did the bookie ask for that?
I don't know. I assume so.
Sometimes folks think they're a little bit more important than they are.
Which is what we were mocking.
Are you familiar with that at all?
I have no experience with anything like that.
Okay, good.
Did I tell you I was hosting two radio shows today? Top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald and the 25th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season and single-game tickets on sale at nusports.com. The hour brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet on Cermak Road in Broadview. It's a weird thing, but off of another loss on the road where the offense was inept, I still felt like the top thing from the game was Jose Quintana pitching at his peak since being a Cub.
Well, maybe that's because your options for other things that could be the top are continued failure on the road, and those crackpot theories have reached epic levels, and there's really not much more to add to that.
Yeah.
Also, your other options are Marty Foster and his complete inability to call strikes consistently. That brutal one to Tony Kemp there in the ninth inning. So you've got those as options. But overall, the fact that Quintana was that good and by the numbers has been as good as he's been overall is really interesting and leads the mind in some interesting places.
Yeah, and I don't know what to do with it. And obviously there's a lot of time between now and the end of the season, but this is a guy that I have basically written off as a guy to rely on in huge games because the other guys had a higher pedigree or a better pedigree and seemed to have a higher ceiling. Like in a playoff game, you want the guy who can strike out 10 in six innings and put zeros up on the board. And I looked at Quintana as a four or a five on this rotation who was eating innings, and a lot of his value was in his contract that allowed you to sign Darvish and all of that.
Right, and his value over $162 of showing up there every day.
30 starts a season, exactly. So it was more of a regular season and a financial benefit as opposed to, no, you know... Quintana starting game three of a division series, that's not ridiculous. And he's been really good recently, so I don't know if I have to recalibrate that. And I think with John Lester struggling, you're forced to recalibrate what he could be for this team.
Yeah, you know, Lester goes through periods of this struggle, and then he usually finds it again over the past couple years. And I still am going to trust his toughness and trust his mindset. What there is with Quintana is just he's also gone the most, you know? He has thrown the most innings of anybody. He's continued to go out there and do his thing. He's been pulled in a couple of games where he felt like he could have gone more. I got to figure out how F war is amassed for pitchers. I know I don't feel as good about war for starting pitchers
right.
as I do for position players. That's for sure. But to sit here and say that Quintana has been the best of their starting pitchers does not feel intuitively correct to me.
I agree.
Quintana. You're welcome.
To pick a player layover from
Coop.
From Don Cooper, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, smart teams are blending their pure eye test scouting ability with the sabermetrics, and I think most, if not all, front offices are doing that. I will just tell you, my eye test is I trust Hendricks, and behind him, it's Darvish.
Mm.
As crazy as that is, but Darvish's swing and miss stuff and just pure stuff is better than anyone else on the team.
I think trust is a word I can't agree because of the word trust in there.
Yeah.
You know, I trust Hamels more than I trust Darvish. I trust Lester more than I trust Darvish.
I don't right now.
In terms of trust and like what you're actually going to get, Darvish will absolutely get a playoff start should there be a playoff series.
We're just doing the copy baseball.
Just yeah. get to the playoffs?
Yeah, it's got to get there. But in terms of trust, I trust Hamels and Hendricks probably 1-2 for me right now.
Yeah, I get it.
What a weird place to be.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like there are huge issues off of last night's game that have been season-long things. The offense not being able to hit lefties, the team's performance on the road, Anthony Rizzo having two home runs in his last 49 games. There are plenty of negatives to talk about. But if you still think that this team is winning the division and therefore going to get a playoff series,
mm-hmm.
the big picture stuff continues to be more interesting to me anyway. And I just don't know what you do with it. I think you could have five good baseball minds in a room and have five different orders ranking the starting pitchers 1 through 5 in terms of who you trust most to least.
Yeah, and these days where starters are used in relief so often in playoff series,
yep.
even guys who are slated to go, like Nady Evaldi and Chris Sale last year for the Red Sox, super starters instead of super relievers, that you use them on their side day. Whoever's not in that rotation is immediately in your bullpen. So who's the most useful guy? Is it a third lefty and somebody who eliminates the, you know, a reason to have Derek Holland on your roster or something like that?
Right, and who could you piggyback off of each other and
right.
say this guy can bounce back quickly and maybe you can piggyback, I don't know, could you piggyback Darvish off of two lefties? Like, could you, if you were going to say, I'm starting Lester and Hamels because uh-huh. of pedigree, but then what's the opposite of them? A hard-throwing righty with crazy movement.
Right. If you're going to a lefty to go after Freddie Freeman in the middle of the sixth inning or the fifth inning, would you rather have it be Quintana or Lester who comes out of the pen to go after him?
Yeah, so these types of things, again, I know cognitively, logically, it's way too soon for it. But when Quintana, he struck out 14 batters in 6 innings.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a number 5 starter. That's not an innings eater. Like that's a guy whose ceiling deserves to be appreciated and considered in terms of a team with big goals this year.
Without a doubt. And yet Lester in the postseason.
I know.
And Hamels in the postseason. And Hendricks in the postseason. Like that's, boy. And then Darvish's potential to be the guy who gives you 7 shutout innings against absolutely any lineup in the game with the swing and miss stuff. I think Q is still the man left out.
And none of it matters if they're going to get 5 hits in a game. You know, like, and that's the other thing, which is why this team feels so damn flawed still and so beatable against teams that are able to execute a good game plan.
Yeah.
Which is what happened last night.
Yeah. It's absolutely crazy how you can feel this kind of this volatility.
Yes.
About this team from series to series, from road trip to homestand.
Our opening segment driven by Prestige Exotics. If you are planning a business trip, a wedding, or looking for the perfect ride for your child to arrive in style for homecoming, visit PrestigeExotics.com to rent your dream car. That's PrestigeExotics.com. We'll continue to balance the micro and the macro with this Cubs team. It's Spiegs in for Mac on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, it's really hard to fathom that they could play so well at home and struggle on the road. And, you know, again, they struggled scoring runs last night. Vargas did a good job against them. But I still think they are the best team in that division. I still believe they will win that division. I think they have the best pitching, the best rotation, and I think it will carry them through.
That's Joe Girardi, Radio.com Sports Insider, with Mully and Haw this morning. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall. The 25th-ranked Northwestern Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Tickets on sale at NUSports.com. Cubs lineup behind Cole Hamels out again. And continuity, Speaks. I know lineupistas and Joe pushes back against that. And
do not mention a certain guy who plays left field, otherwise the conversation's over.
Well, what, are we just going to skip that spot in the order list?
I will. This is how many games in a row? Shep, can you look that up, please?
1 through 5.
Yeah, Hayward, Castellanos, Bryant, Rizzo, Baez. Same five guys, that order.
It predates.
I will only look that up if Speaks does it in his infamous Speaks voice asking for it.
How many games in a row is that? Shep, do we have that?
Because it predates. More like it. Thank you, sir. That feels right.
Thank you.
It predates the Contreras injury because he was six there for a while when they went to this with Hayward at the top. And it's. It's interesting because you could make the case right now that moving Anthony Rizzo, who's getting on base an awful lot but not hitting for power, up to one and putting Hayward down at four might make some sense. But you're not going to do that because Hayward explicitly said, could you give me some time here? Could you be a little patient with me here and don't mess with me?
But I think we're at 20-plus games now at leadoff for Hayward. Not in a row, but on the season, and he's hitting below the Mendoza line at last check. It might have changed in the last day or two, but I don't believe it has. I mean, I don't know how much more he should get at leadoff when he's been so bad there and he was so good hitting fifth or sixth.
Well, I don't think they're ready to pull the plug, and I don't think you ought to pull the plug on it just yet. Because once you pull the plug has been fully pulled. So what are you going to do? So maybe September 1 is when you're going to fully pull the plug on the experiment. Assuming you have Ben Zobrist back.
Yeah, Schwarber is sixth, Happ seventh, Caratini eight for Cole Hamels. So you've got Schwarber in left, Happ at second base, and Hayward in center field.
By the way, best defensive play of that game last night. Jonathan Lucroy.
Oh.
My
was great.
God, was that great. It complete,
very heads up.
Oh, complete with the body fake towards first to get Scott Kingery going and let him keep going between second and third. And then he turns and does the right thing running towards him and then throwing ahead of him to get the rundown going. And it didn't end up mattering because Dwayne Underwood gave up the triple and they ended up losing the game and such. But that was... color me surprised with the terrific defensive play by Lucroy right there.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, every guy they've brought in seemingly has made a small to big impact instantly. Castellanos obviously being the best. Mm-hmm. But the additions that they've made have all had a nice moment already as a Cub.
Yeah, I want to sit around and pick apart, like, bullpen decisions from last night. And yet, what they're dealing with is like, all right, do I trust David Phelps or Dwayne Underwood in the seventh?
Right, like, exactly.
Do I let Dwayne Underwood pitch to Roman Quinn, who's a switch hitter and has slightly worse stats against righties than lefties? Or do I bring in Derek Holland? Underwood or Holland for this key at bat here in the eighth inning? I mean,
he's not exactly playing with a full deck.
Yeah, no, he's not. Things are really, really weird, and needs Kimbrel and Kinsler back. And supposedly who was playing catch today? I think it was Kinsler and Cishek who were playing catch today under the supervision of Lester Strode. And I love that phrasing because I'm imagining Lester Strode out there going, all right, you stand over there. You stand over there. No bounces, everybody.
It's like recess. You get orange slices and a Capri Sun if you can make the ball not hit the ground
right.
20 times in a row.
Five in a row. Good job, guys.
Very, very
way
impressive.
It's impressive.
I am supervising.
Uh-huh.
We have social studies next. Sunday was an Almora start, so Hayward had the day off, and Almora let off. in that game. So other than that scheduled day off, Shep is still going back and looking at it. But in terms of consecutive
other than games, that, yeah. Other than that, it's been Hayward, Castellanos, Bryant, Rizzo, Baez 1 through 5 each day since the trade deadline besides that Sunday game. And there was one game against the A's. Bryant had a day off.
Man.
So 12 of 14 days-ish.
And still, it's working at home and for the most part not on the road. And every once in a while, this offense will do what it does last night. And every once in a while, this offense will do what it does in the first game of the road trip when they put up 12 runs on 1,000 hits. It's frustrating. What a frustrating batch.
It really is. The Rizzo stuff, because for the last month or so, Spiegs, maybe a little bit more, we've been talking about how with the offensive frustrations, instead of focusing on guys like Albert Almora underperforming, focus on the big guys and making sure that they're carrying their weight to play up to their all-star level, their future contract level. So Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, and Contreras. And Bryant's been great, and Javi is what he is, low OBP guy, high slugging guy. Obviously, Contreras has been injured within that time frame. We probably haven't spent enough time as a show on Rizzo. And it's odd to me because back to that eye test versus what the numbers are telling you. When I'm watching, he's working counts. He's got his BHAC. He's getting on base. Two home runs in his last 49 games dating back nearly 2 months to June 16th.
Mm-hmm.
But in that time period, a 292 batting average and a 397 OBP. What do you do with that when he's getting on base nearly 40% of the time but not hitting the ball out of the park in an era when everyone's hitting home runs?
You trust him to ride it out, and you let him do his thing because he
did. 2 months, though.
Didn't he do the same thing last year? There was a stretch last year where he had 41 games. How many games did you just say? 46?
49.
There was a
going to June 16th.
49. There was a 41-game stretch last year when he just had two homers. There was a 41-game stretch last year where he did it.
Was that early? Was that an April, May thing? Like to start the season? I don't remember.
Could be. This was in Sahadev's piece in The Athletic, kind of dissecting it.
Okay.
And then after that 41-game stretch, he then had five homers in the next nine games, and over the next 39 overall had an isolated power of 302, which is obviously a hell of a lot better than what he's doing right now. So we've seen this before. Where the power goes, I don't know, man. It's like some of these guys, game is hard. Like with Bryant
yeah.
and with Rizzo, game is hard, and these guys do know what they're doing from hitting coach to hitting coach, from year to year. They know what they're doing, and Rizzo is gonna figure out a way, especially to hit his way out of it. So maddening, frustrating, I get. But on base of 397, as you say, would be colored up if there were other guys further down in the lineup doing their thing.
It absolutely would be. And so it's how much criticism can you give a guy when he's getting on base 40% of the time?
It's just you need – they've played themselves into situations where you need these guys to do it. I was thinking about it as I watched Hayward last night against Hector Neris, right? And there's two men on. I'm like, man, Bryant came up huge in Cincinnati in the late innings with that home run. Here's Hayward's moment. Boy, he's had a great year. He's had obviously some big clutch moments, but here you are again, and you're dealing with a guy who throws high fastball and breaking ball again, and you've got to just dial it in and try to have a great at-bat, and he ends up having a pretty good at-bat and hits it hard, but he hits his longtime superpower of a ground ball to the right side. And there it is. But, like, my God, the pressurized moments in this thing that end up mattering mattering more than the overall as you do the math over a .162. And there it was again.
Well, that's baseball.
That
right?
is.
Right? Because that goes back to the Bryant and clutch stats thing. It's like, well, if you get frustrated with him in the moment for one bad at bat, you feel like he should come through all the time because he's great. But then when you look at it over the full body of work,
yes.
it's like, oh, he is great.
He is great.
The game's just really damn hard.
Uh-huh.
And it's not reasonable. It's emotional, right? It's natural to be frustrated in a moment when someone doesn't come through as a fan, but you got to divorce yourself from that and realize, it's hard. He's doing his best.
Yeah, right. And so the fact that Rizzo's on base is that good, the fact that, as you say, the eye test, and I agree, I wouldn't have even necessarily realized the isolated power was this low, that overall the slug is that low, because I feel like I am seeing him hit the ball hard. I am seeing him work counts and do his thing. But, yeah, look, Bryant should have more than 23 homers in a year like this with a rabbit ball. I mean, Yelich and Bellinger are approaching 40. Trout just hit a career high.
Yep.
You know, some of these guys are Jorge Soler's at what, 35?
Yep.
I mean, this is an era where if you are a slugger, you should be in the 30s by right now. Where's Nelson Cruz right now? So Bryant's having a very nice year, and 23 is good, but it's not great in this era.
It's not, but part of what they wanted was go the other way and put the ball in play and contact mm-hmm. and BHAC and all of that stuff. So
yeah.
Would they rather Chris Bryant have 25 points off of his batting average to have 8 more home runs?
No.
Right. I don't think they would.
No.
Because that would mean strikeouts would go up.
Right.
And all of that stuff.
Meanwhile, some of the guys I mentioned, Nelson Cruz is just being, you know, just be yourself and hit bombs. Okay?
That's Soler.
Jorge Soler, yeah, just be yourself and hit bombs. The other guys I talked about, I mean, Bellinger and Yelich and Trout are absolute stud superstars who are great in going the other way with power. They're great doing anything and everything at the plate.
Yeah, it's just a bizarre thing to say. He should be hitting more home runs, and it's like, ooh, he also had an OPS of like almost 1,100 for a 6 weeks period of time. You know, he is playing well. He is hitting doubles. He is driving the ball.
Yeah.
He just only has 23 home runs. He's only pacing for 30, 32 home runs this year.
You know, I you could tell me that the numbers for Hayward overall and leadoff are as bad as what you're saying, but I still feel like it has been the right thing, and it continues to be the right thing to have him there right now. It absolutely feels correct. I think for the most part, his at-bats have been solid. There last night against Hector Neris, when it's a moment where you're just, you know, you're trying to work the count and get a pitch to drive, he did, but got on top of it and hit the ground ball. Like, I would not get away from it right now. It sounds like you'd consider getting away from it right now. Once you get away, you're done.
I guess. I mean, he's such a pro. Like, I don't look at him as like Schwarber in the sense of once you go there, it was so unconventional that you could never go back.
But he flat out told you that that's the way it needs to be.
I know, but like Rizzo has said he's the best leadoff hitter of all time before. And so obviously when you put him there, you don't have to keep him at leadoff for forever. I feel like Hayward has a similar makeup where right now, if Rizzo's getting on base 40% of the time and Hayward was driving the ball in the middle of the lineup, it almost feels like a straight flip of those guys would work out for you.
At their best as communicators, these guys will tell you the stuff they really struggle with. Bryant opened up a little bit towards the beginning of this year, and the very fact that he has not been talking every day is a form of opening up, is a form of actually letting you in. Like, don't make me think about this too much, please.
Yeah.
And the way that Hayward talked about leadoff and just broke it down completely as he was doing it for you, the two different approaches you have to have, how it messes with you to look over your shoulder after you've chosen to go with one approach when
yeah,
you know, like that kind of thing. I mean, Hayward has flat out told you, and he said it before, being up there can screw with me. So they didn't want to do it. Now you're going to do it? Okay. Well, don't make me look over my shoulder. So
you're right.
I think you risk really damaging him further by pulling him out of there right now.
John Morosi at 3:00. We'll have fun with Hard Knocks at 4:00. But coming up next, it seems to happen once every 6 months. It's a really popular piece of audio around here. We're going to play it for you next on The Score.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41.
It just makes me so happy. No one's ever made more money doing local sports talk radio than Mike Francesa, New York's number one. And that was him counting the number of bowl games that there were years ago. 41.
It was like 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Something like that? A
couple of years ago.
It got to 41.
It's in the Midday Midway Open. It is my favorite part of the Midday Midway, and I love all parts of the Midday Midway, but that is my favorite part. And sometimes...
Wow. What an awful thing to think.
I'm sorry about that. It just tickles me, because it leads... That is live on the radio.
Well, you know, when you're a made guy, you can really just get away with anything. I mean, there's a lot of moments out there of Francesa, like, you know, looking up stats on his phone and just fumbling through his phone live on the air, not finding stuff, going,
yeah, as he's scrolling. Yeah, Terry has sound effects for humor. He has sound effects literally to fill silence.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm
Dombrowski, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's it, that's it.
Yeah.
That's right, he's looking
as he's
up.
Reading.
He's reading a Dombrowski, blah, blah, blah.
It's amazing.
You can do anything you want. You're a fully made guy. You went through giant retirement ceremonies and then clawed your way back just a few months later.
But there's something about him counting that really scratches me where I itch. And the Mets are hottest team in baseball.
Good story.
Crazy story. Fighting their way back not only into playoff relevance, but relevance in New York City.
You gotta hurry up, man. It takes forever.
And Mike Francesa was trying to figure out their magic number and counting the number of playoff wins.
Let me give it to you exactly. So they've played 118. They have 44 games to play. How many games will it take? Let me think about this for a second. There's 61 and 57. Okay?
Okay.
They got 44 games to play. If they win 22 and 22, they got 83.
83.
That's not cutting it. That's 83-79. That's not getting you anything.
83.
So you got to take 22, take four off that, go to 26, take four off that. That's 26 and 18. That's 89. I don't think yet. Take one more off there. I think it'll probably take 90 wins. To get the wild card. Right?
Right.
61. 22 is 83. That'd be seven more. That's 90. Well, that's playing really good. Well, it's better than 90. They have to play 29. It's pretty good baseball. I think it might take 90. It's 89 anyway. Eddie in Hoboken, what's up, Eddie?
Wow. Mike. I got to tell you, listening to the dead air while you're doing math is one of the greatest things out there. It's the best. Thanks, guy.
That's what you stayed on the phone to do? You know? I mean thanks for that. You know what? That's it. So tell me, please, Eddie, tell me now how to do a show. I haven't figured that out yet. Yeah, so thanks. Give me some pointers. I need them.
Oh, man.
It's so great.
His own listeners calling him out.
It is so unbelievably perfect.
Has that happened before? Have we reached the point where Francesa's own people are going to turn on him just a little bit?
The trolls have been after him for years.
Yeah, so who knows? That guy was probably on the line to troll him about something else.
I know Tanny cut that down a little bit to condense it and be able to play it. How did Francesa, he goes from 82 wins, he adds four and gets 89.
Don't let details and facts get in the way of a good counting
four,
session.
That's 89. No, it's 86.
And then, like, after, you know, the hypothetical wins, he goes over and he goes, that's pretty good baseball.
That's if they did it.
He enjoyed the hypothetical season a lot, is what you're saying? He was watching it all play out.
I like to do that with the rest of the Sox season, personally.
Go ahead and simulate. This is the genius of Francesa. While you think he's only doing math, he's actually like a really excellent modern computer algorithm. He's playing out the entire rest of the season in his brain, watching game after game, dissecting it all as he just simply counts to the mere mortal like us.
Counts to New York's number one.
I gotta tell you, listening to the dead air while you're doing math is one of the greatest things out there. It's the best. Thanks, guy.
I agree with him, frankly. Two pieces of baseball news. Jason Hayward scratched from tonight's Cubs lineup. So there's a change.
Left knee inflammation.
Yep, left knee inflammation. He is listed as day-to-day. So Tony Kemp is your new second baseman and leadoff hitter. So Ian Happ will still bat seventh, but he is now playing center field.
And Rick Kemp in studio.
how about that? Tony Kemp, little slappy Tony Kemp, putting him up at one so they can leave 2 through 5 exactly the same.
Yep, certainly noteworthy there. And then Jake Arrieta, old friend alert, saying that after MRI results, he does not expect to pitch the rest of the season.
He said he knew he had a bone spur in the spring. and just tried to pitch through it all year, and it couldn't work. The Phillies are a,
sounds painful.
The Phillies are a very interesting mess for a big market team that was ready to pounce and did pounce and find themselves fighting for a wild card. There's a lot of intrigue there that has some local tangents tendrils, I should say, that we could talk about.
Tendrils?
Is that the
tentacles.
Right word? Tentacles. How about tendrils? Can I have tendrils?
I don't think you can have tendrils.
Damn it.
But they have Bryce Harper for another decade
and
2 years, so
tendrils.
That'll work.
A slender thread-like appendage of a climbing plant, often growing in a spiral form that stretches out and twines around. I think you might have to give me tendrils.
But you meant tentacles.
Maybe I meant tendrils.
We'll ask John Morosi. Probably not. Next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.